I want to welcome you right here to the show. We have an amazing show for you today. And let me tell you something. I am just excited about this because, you know, a lot of people say, oh, this is all promo. This is not promo. This is showing you that you can do it too. Okay, there are dreams out there that people want to go for. And if you're going for your dreams, you should be on this show. That's how this works, okay? We're here to promote you. We're here to promote all of your dreams and your goals. And I am so excited to do that. That is my life's goal, to help you get noticed. Boom. That's how it works around here. And that's why we have Logan Teller on the show. And he's all about the Dazzle Company. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's so nice to be here with you today.
Oh man, the pleasure is mine. The pleasure is mine. So, you know, it's amazing that people don't understand dreams are like amazing. And when they become reality, it's just like a culmination of different emotions. What was it like for you?
Well, you know, I've been thinking a lot about that lately and about how you, like, the first step is to believe that you're going to be able to accomplish something, because mm-hmm. if you don't believe that, then it's, you know, you're less likely to put in the effort to do all the steps, which can feel really tedious and slow, especially at the beginning. And when you're, you know, it can take, you know, months and years to see results. So you have to definitely have some faith to know that you're, that you have a vision and that you're willing to put in the work and like move towards that vision, which is just easier if you think that you're actually going to be able to do it. So for me, when I started Dazzle, I was actually in college and working at a restaurant, and I just had a friend who, it was a friend of a friend, and they wanted their house cleaned. And so I was like, I mean, I'll clean your house. And I love podcasts. At that time, I don't really think that, well, I wasn't listening to podcasts. I don't know if they were around. This was 10 years ago. But I listened to NPR the whole time, and I love cleaning, and I finished and just thought, the best job I've ever had. So I quit my job the next day, started a business, immediately started hiring people and reading every book I could get on building a business and marketing. And it was just, I was just off from there. So that was 10 years ago.
Wow, that is so cool. That is so inspirational. Like, most people don't even have the courage to do that. I mean, that's just like the quit your job the next day. I mean, literally. Oh my gosh. So your journey, what has that been like so far? And what makes you different than all the other companies out there that are doing the cleaning?
I think that, I mean, I'm really passionate about politics and social justice work. And so it wasn't like that. We didn't integrate that into Dazzle. It was just part of Dazzle from the beginning, because as I was building the company, I started to get a little bit of a platform, and I had access to just more people that I could talk to about things. So I always knew that as I grew Dazzle, you know, it's great to have a growing database and group of people you're connected with. And I always knew that I would like leverage that group of people to help and be of service, or to bring ideas to them for local politicians or local organizations. So it was just like really natural for us. It wasn't like some part of a strategy that we needed to implement. Though later, we, you know, there are pieces, like we did build strategy into it. So for example, it's, you know, if you're on our mailing list, it's extremely unlikely that you'll receive an email from us about like, save $100 on your cleaning, which is what most cleaning companies would do, or whatever it is. But we're more likely to invite you to an event or a fundraiser, or highlight a local organization that's doing something cool. Which is actually still great marketing, because people are still seeing, like, it's still a reminder that you're existing. So that's, you know, that works for us.
Nice. You know, I know that there's just certain strategies that people implement that are unique. What is your unique strategy, and what is your unique cause for your company?
So when we started, we called it the gayest cleaning company in America. And when I say we, I mean me. And
mm.
it was like, you know, we thought it was funny. And also I lived in like a super gay neighborhood in Capitol Hill. And then I started hiring people around there and people that I knew. And we just had like the people that we were serving as employees and clients were lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, part of the LGBTQ plus group. And then as we grew, our cleaners are still like really heavily pulled from that, you know, from that community,
mm-hmm.
though we don't like ask people or anything like that, but we
right.
have like a really strong like showing from the LGBT community as employees. But
mm-hmm.
as we've grown, our client base has diversified a lot. So we don't have like, I mean, it's, I don't know what percentage of our clients are part of the LGBTQ plus community, but I would guess it's maybe like a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
But we've like gained more diversity in other ways. For example,
right.
we have, you know, a huge tech sector in Seattle, and a lot of people that work in the tech sector are from other countries like India. So we have like tons of clients from India now, like first generation people. And so we get to, you know, be serving other groups of people and like a more broad base group of people as we've grown, but not just the LGBTQ community.
Right, right. And, you know, I love that because, you know, a lot of people are saying, oh, you know, you know, you're heavily this, you're heavily that. No, you're heavily minded on your job, you're heavily minded on your company, and most of all, you're heavily minded on the people that you not only service, but the people that work for you. You want a great environment for people to feel comfortable. You know, people are so like, oh, this, that, and the other. And I mean, I hate that, you know, just get a group of people who love what they do and,
yeah.
and do it. That's it. And do it.
It's true. And when I started Dazzle, I really thought that getting clients was going to be what was hard, and that finding employees and having great employees was going to be the easier battle, which was just completely false. By far, the hardest part of the business is attracting, onboarding, training, and retaining people that are really great at their jobs. So it's, you know, our focus is on how to be an excellent employer and how to create an environment where people want to stay, because employees have a lot of options. It's not like, you know, 40 years ago where people were going to get a job and stay at that job for decades, even if they didn't like the job. Now
yeah.
people are super willing to try things out and switch jobs. And that is, if you know that, that's great. It just means that you have to hold yourself to a higher standard so that you can
yeah.
keep those great people once you have them with you.
Exactly. Exactly. And like you said, you know, it is not an easy thing to get, you know, an employee that is wonderful. You know, it's clients, they come and they go, they really do. And some stay, you know, because they love
mm-hmm.
your services, but that's not the easiest. That's one of the easier parts of it. It's the internal. That's the hard part of it all. What
Absolutely.
Is it like? Yeah, what is it like? I mean, you quit your job the day after. That's like, what? Okay, so you quit your job the day after. What was it like to become a student? And all of a sudden, now you're president and the owner of a company. What has that been like for you?
Well, I mean, it was scary.
Mm-hmm.
But also in the beginning, I was only responsible for myself, you know, and like maybe a few clients. It was, so there wasn't a huge amount of responsibility. But as the business grows, the responsibility increases and increases and increases. And then, you know, I remember when we started having our payroll got up to around like $8,000 a week. And I was like, oh my God, okay, I have to like make sure that this, like we hit this every week. And the
mm-hmm.
business was still like relatively new then. So I like at that point didn't have an accountant, didn't have a bookkeeper, was like, I wasn't charging enough. Like I didn't know enough about business. So it was really
right.
stressful. But then, you know, we grow and we learn about things, and then you professionalize and hire people that do that kind of thing for you, which thank God for those people, because it's the last thing that I want to do. But then you end up, then you're responsible for, dozens of people's livelihoods and
Yes.
responsible for all of the financial things that happen with that. And now I
Yeah.
would, be seeing an $8,000 payroll week would be, it's unheard of. It's, we're far above that now. But now we have systems in place and people in place that manage that stuff. So it's like you have to, I think at every stage of the business, you have to learn a new set of skills and also be willing to outsource things or, hire people for things that you're not good at or don't want to be good at or don't want to learn. And so that you can continually grow. And so the very first thing that I hired, I mean, I hired cleaners right away, but then I hired an accountant and bookkeepers because, and of course, payroll processing company, very first thing, because I just can't stand. I think it's so boring. And now we have a CEO who does, like, he loves spreadsheets. So he spends all day in spreadsheets and just edits, like, he knows exactly where every dime in the business is going at all times. And thank God for him because I can't imagine operating like that. It would drive me crazy.
I hear you. I hear you. I totally understand where you're coming from. Wow. People are very interested in getting their homes clean, but most of all, they're interested in trust. Some people were very scared to open their homes to cleaners because they've been things have been stolen, picked up. What is your policy for that?
Well, we have been so lucky in that we were just adding up the number of jobs that we've completed, and I know we've completed 50,000 jobs, but I can't remember what the time frame it was. It was like in the last 3 or 4 years or something like that. And we've only had like a cleaner steal something from a client. It was one cleaner stole things from multiple people the same week, and we were pretty new. And of course, I panicked. And what this client, what the cleaner did was steal checks from the client's homes and write checks to themselves. I mean, it was the stupidest scam on the planet. It was like video of them in the houses at the bank writing checks to themselves. I mean, it was so dumb. But immediately, I apologized profusely and wrote them checks for the amount. I mean, just right out the gate, which is what we would always do, right? Replace or refund or, make it better, whatever that means for the client right away. But it's so rare that it happens. I mean, in like 10 years, we've had this instance once. So I think what is more important is having a really thorough screening process so that, like, when you're on hiring and onboarding people, so that you're getting people that you believe are trustworthy. And this kind of goes back into when you're creating a really great job or when people think you're a great place to work and want to work there, you can be really choosy about who you choose to work with you. So it's definitely like if anything should happen, grovel, apologize, fix it to however the client wants immediately. But really, it's about catching that stuff right in the beginning so that it doesn't happen.
Well, I'm very proud of you for
Thank you.
like literally, I mean, you are like the epitome of brave. It's like, okay, you see Logan Taylor, brave.
Well,
That
thank you.
is
And that's
brave.
exactly what I would say about you as well.
Oh, well, thank you. But I didn't quit my job the day after I found out I like this. It was a few years. It's like, you are brave. But thank you. You know, the one thing that I love is that I absolutely love when people do this, when people tell me their stories, because every story is different. What kind of advice do you give to the person that wants to jump out of their job? I mean, what would be the one thing that you would tell your younger self that you didn't know when you jumped out the day after you figured out you like this? What would be the one thing you would tell them today?
Well, first of all, I don't think that it's great universal advice. It really depends on the situation that you're in. So, in my case, I was working at a restaurant and I was cleaning houses. And at that point, I didn't have any employees yet. So, I could make money to put in my pocket the next day that would be like enough so I could pay my bills. If I were starting a different kind of a business, that's going to have like, a big run up until you're getting revenue or becoming profitable, then I would suggest thinking really carefully and strategically about how you make that exit. And what people usually say is build what you're building until you're replacing your income. Or if you are, maybe you've been in corporate America for 30 years and you're retiring and now you have a big chunk of cash and you're going to buy a business, then that might be something where you can predict with financial planners or your accountants or business broker when that business will be profit positive and do it. So I don't think that it's smart to just, you know, to for everyone's situation just to jump. But right. In some cases it does. I mean, if you're in a situation where you are starting the business right now because you need to make the money right now and you have very little wiggle room, then I actually think it provides a great deal of motivation because it's like there's no backup.
That's right. Wow. Well, thank you so much, Logan, for being on the show. I truly appreciate it. You guys can get the Dazzle Company on thedazzlecompany.com, or you can go ahead and click on that QR code with your phone, you know, and just go straight there. Man, we're going to have the information in the description box below. Logan, thank you. You have such a wonderful story. I am so proud of you, so happy for you, and I wish nothing but the best for you. Continue to do what you do, and I'm glad that you found the right people to go with you.
Thank you so much. And thanks for doing this podcast. It's so fun to hear people's stories. I really
it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is. I'm just so fascinated. It's just such an inspiration, especially you. I mean, the day after? Okay, come on. I haven't heard that. This is the first.
Well, it worked out in this case.
It did. Yeah, because there are so many cases where we don't know about that did not work out. I mean, I'm glad it worked out for you. Thank you so much again, Logan. And thank you guys so much again for tuning in. Don't forget to dare to be different, but most of all, QR code or description box. Check it out for yourself. And if you're in need of someone to clean your home spotless and beautiful, then you need to call the Dazzle Company. I'm telling you right now. All right, guys. And until next time, bye.